Oh, the memories that brings back of someone seeing that when I was a child, sheltered in the arms of God. Can you imagine that? Have you experienced that? Is that a part of you? As we continue, we're moving through that process of looking at and observing the master light. We're looking at the memory verses of each week's study. And as we do that, we're calling attention to the fact that Jesus said we have to abide in him. We have to stay connected to him. And if we're not connected to him, then we're not going to bear fruit and we're going to be cast off. So, thinking about that, you know what these are? They're loppers. They're cutting off things. You trim hedges, you trim things like that. I wonder if it'll cut this. Wasn't going to do it, Rudy. I'm just making fun. Well, you know, that's the thing is, we're looking at the scripture and what it's entailing us to understand is the concept of the great arbor, the concept of the vineyard, and the Father being the vineyard keeper, the owner, the operator of the vineyard, and the Lord Jesus being the vine, you and I being the branches, and branches are required to bear fruit. If they don't bear fruit, they're cut off. Here's some branches I've cut off yesterday. They're beginning to die and wither. You can see that. Here's another one, two different bushes that were in our backyard, and I just went out and chopped them off. Now, there was a tree down in the edge of our woods, and in that tree, there's all kind of branches. It's been down a few weeks now from a storm, and it's not very good because it's dead. Things are dying. Here's another one of those bushes right by my back door. It was a bush that has died. And this was just a piece I cut off. What good is it? What's the purpose of this branch now? What's the purpose of these others? Well, if they're not connected, they're not going to bear fruit, are they? They're not going to. Here's some things I lost. This was my drill, one of my old drills. I like to drill. But you notice it's not plugged up. And it won't do anything. Got a bit in it or a Phillips head screw, but it won't do it. I started to hook it up and let you hear it run to make you understand that. I saw not long ago on Facebook two guys that had a drill like this, and there was a plug over here, and they were trying to drill a hole in the wall on this side. And they would go over, and he would stretch the cord as far as he could, plug it in, get it running, and he would run over and like, just a few times it would turn and it would quit. It was useless. It was not gaining ground. Here's another one. This has become one of my favorites now. You know, it's a good handy drill, but I got that. And that thing is working, but the battery has to be charged and it has to be connected for it to produce power that will give me the ability to cut. To drill into stuff. So if we think about this, the point that Jesus was making is as believers, as followers of Jesus, we have to abide. We have to stay connected. So what did he say? John 15, verse 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes and prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it can produce more fruit. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Father, let us see and understand the concept of the vine, the branches, and the fruit, and understand you are the gardener. and you're going to cut, you're going to trim, you're going to cast away, and you're going to harvest the fruit that comes. Speak to our hearts, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, you will remember where we are in Scripture. You had Jesus in the upper room with the disciples. They celebrated the Passover. They had been the initiation of the Lord's Supper. They had talked. Jesus had washed their feet. He had spoken to them. He encouraged them. He challenged them. And he said, let's go. Judas had already gone. The kiss had been the kiss had been paid for, and he was gone to get the religious leaders and carry them to Jesus and expose Jesus as the one that needed to be taken care of, to be killed. And as they were walking from the upper room, headed for the Garden of Gethsemane, they were passing the temple. Around the very edge of the top of the temple, there was vines and branches and grape clusters there. And the very wealthy people began to donate money, and they would have those grape clusters, those vine and branches, emboldened with gold. And so this very sparkly gold was on top of the temple. The concept of the grape arbor and the grapevine was very long in the history of Israel. Now, Jesus is speaking to them, reminding them as they walk by, hey, I'm the branch, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and you need to be producing fruit, as he carried them to Gethsemane to pray for the time that was coming for his crucifixion. Now, what he taught was that believers have to remain connected to Jesus. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, he wasn't calling them to a club. He wasn't calling them to a religion. He was not calling them to a ritual. He was not calling them to rules. He was calling them to a relationship, a personal relationship. See, that was the problem that he had with the rabbis. The rabbis, their disciples met in the synagogue, dressed in all that was appropriate to designate who they were, and they studied the law. Jesus' disciples was in the streets with him, loving and caring for people. And there was this conflict that grew stronger and stronger about what was going on. The disciples with Jesus had a personal relationship day by day. The disciples with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rabbis only met at the synagogue or the temple, and they learned the law. That's all that was going on. Jesus was applying the law with his disciples. Now, to be his disciple, we must be connected, is what he said. Last week, I shared with those that were on the mountaintop with him. He had just fed the 5,000, and he said to the whole crowd, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Come on. And there is the cross that is in our bulletin this week. And it's a reminder that Jesus was talking about the instrument of death that he would die upon. Our author of the study of matter life took the cross and he developed it to show those things that helped us stay connected to Jesus, how we need to relate to him. John 15, Jesus gives the image of the vine and the branches and the fruit. Just as the branches are powerless to produce fruit apart from the vine, we are helpless to do anything for the kingdom of God or for others if we're not connected to him, if we're not related to him, if we're not in fellowship with him. That relationship a disciple had with Jesus can be seen by others because we're producing fruit. This thing's not going to produce even a flower. Nothing green, nothing grows because it's dead. It's not connected. To produce fruit, we have to be connected. Master life study starts here. Jesus must be at the center of our lives. And you'll notice on the cross, there is that circle that says Christ. He's the center of everything. The evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives will be shown as we live our daily lives. Remember, Paul said in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, that the Holy Spirit is given to us. He comes and lives in us. He seals us. He marks us as God's child, is salvation being a part of us. He gives us the down payment. He starts helping us understand what eternity is going to be like because he is abiding with us. And then he is the guarantee that heaven's my home, the Holy Spirit in me. That's how it is. Now, what's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the life? If he's in control of the believer's life, the Bible says if he's there, then fruit is going to come out of you. And that fruit is going to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Friend, that's something everybody's going to see in you. If that's not coming out, then you're no different than the branch that's cut off. It's not producing, it's not sharing, it's not giving, it's not loving. The Holy Spirit in me, that is Jesus in me, will use me to draw others to Jesus through my witness, through my testimony, through my ministry, my caring for other people. The Holy Spirit will empower me to tell others about Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Now, the branch that's cut off withers. It dies. It's not going to receive power, strength, nutrients, or anything. Branches do not produce the fruit in out of themselves when they're cut off from the tree. They wither, they die. The branch is not connected. It's not going to gain nourishment. It's not going to continue to live. Without fruit, the branch has no value. And the gardener will come off and cut off that branch, get rid of it, let something else grow that is going to produce fruit. It's going to be thrown into the fire and burned up. The picture is simple, but it's profound. We want to grow. We want to thrive. We want to bear fruit for God's kingdom. We must stay connected to Jesus Christ. The starting point of discipleship is Jesus at the center of our lives. Jesus as the branch cut off from the, just as the branch that is cut off from the vine withers, the disciple that is not in relationship with Jesus is going to wither and die as well. Jesus is the source of life, we understand. He's the true vine. Jesus declared himself the true vine. It means that the believers who follow him are going to be nourished. They're going to grow. They're going to produce much fruit because of their relationship. He alone is the source of life and nourishment. Israel, as I said, had that picture. Go back to Isaiah 5. The prophet describes the comparison of God's people as the vineyard which he cultivated, planted, and took care of. But it was not bearing fruit. So he cut them off. They went to Egypt. They spent 400 years there in slavery as a result of their unwillingness. And then he said, okay, I want you to go. I'm going to plant you somewhere else. They got out to Mount Sinai. Oh, no, no, no. God's not saying that. No, we can't do that. We can't trust them. And then they spent 40 years in the wilderness dying. And when we then finally get into the promised land, he plants them and they explode with growth and develop and love, grace, and mercy. Jesus had spent 3 years teaching the disciples how to become fishers of men, how to become people that bring other disciples to him. Now he's just invested a night with them, reminding them what he taught them and demonstrated to them and how they are to make more disciples. This will be possible, he said, if you remain connected to me. I will nourish you. I will provide for you every day through my teachings and my example. The Father is the gardener, he said. He prunes us, sometimes through trials. He helps us grow and develop and produce fruit. Isaiah declared the owner God made every conceivable provision for the vines to produce and provide protection. Jesus said the vineyard is owned and operated by the Father. God the Father is the gardener, pruning and caring and tending to the vineyard. Now, as the vine, I am gaining nourishment from the Father, from his protection, from his care. And when I fulfill the work he had for me, I will be provided a place in heaven. I will be given back the throne of God. Now, God's word cleanses and prunes us as we grow. John 15:3, you are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Verse 3 reminds us that we are already clean through the Word, the Bible. God uses His Word to prune and correct us and to shape us. That's why Bible study is so important. That's why personal Bible study is important. We are learning more from God. We can apply His teachings. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He makes us a part of His kingdom, His vineyard, and He connects with us. And He makes us a branch. He grows us into something that can produce fruit. He provides what we need to produce fruit. Jesus also gave the Great Commission to make disciples, make more fruit as you go about your life. We always think of the Great Commission, go to another part of the world. But no, He's saying, as you go day by day, make the disciples. We encounter people every day that need a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Father has called them and brought us into their lives to make more disciples. Jesus gives spiritual vitality to us. He gives us the ability to touch people and to change people. We're rooted in Him through the study of His Word, through prayer, through worship and ministry. We can make more disciples through that process. The disciple's life must revolve around Jesus. He has to be the center. If He's not the center of your life, then everything else is out of balance. Everything else is out of whack. You have to realize and ask yourself, is Christ the center of my decisions? Is He the center of my time? Is He the center of my priority? Is He the center of my relationship? Is He the center of what I'm going to do tomorrow as I move about the community? You see, we must abide in Christ to bear fruit. Jesus said, remain in me and I in you. This is a daily choice that we make to walk with Him, to be with Him, to share with Him. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. With Him, we bear fruit. As we remain connected, as we have a relationship with Him, as we abide in Him, notice that He said, you're going to bear much fruit. It's going to be regular. It's going to be often. It's going to be real. Branches cannot bear fruit by themselves. Our efforts apart from Christ produces nothing that's lasting. We must be connected. That means that there is more than attending church now and then. It's even meaning more than attending every Sunday. It's more than attending Sundays and Wednesdays. It's more than attending special meetings. It means remain connected, that we have a relationship that has a daily influence on every part of our life. Daily influence. Abiding means staying connected daily, as I said. We pray, we meditate, we tell others about Jesus at every opportunity that we have throughout the day. We even live in such a manner that we allow people to ask us questions. When you're living by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, people are going to say, what makes you different? How do you always fill with joy? How do you demonstrate love that way? How do you do the things you do? When we understand those questions, then we can connect with them in such a way to tell them about Jesus and what He means to me. Jesus said, remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains to the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. Without Him, we can do nothing. With Him, we can bear much fruit. Now, fruit is evidence of the Holy of being a true disciple. Bearing fruit is not optional, it is required. Bearing fruit is evidence of a genuine relationship with Jesus. Abide means to remain, to dwell, to stay connected daily and through prayer, obedience, and dependence on Him. If we look for like Christ-like character that Paul talked about, he said, you're going to bear fruit because the Holy Spirit is living through you. He's giving you the fruit. That love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, at the very beginning of the church age, right at Pentecost, It is said that the followers of Christ devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship of breaking of bread, and to prayer. They invested in that relationship. The believers, those new believers, were faithful witnesses. They were accomplishing good works, and they were glorifying God. Now, they were all being persecuted. They were losing jobs, homes, families, everything else. But you see that they were gaining fruit for the kingdom. Good fruit bearers must abide in the habit of a quiet time. Abiding in Christ is not just a Sunday activity. It's a daily lifestyle. Prayer is talking with Jesus, but it's also letting Jesus talk to you. The Word, the Bible, is through listening to Him. His voice comes through as the Holy Spirit uses the Bible as we study it and read it, and it builds, and it gives us understanding of God. We can know His will. We can understand His purpose for me and my life as I Bible study and as I pray. Abiding in Christ is not just a Sunday activity. It's an everyday lifestyle. Build the habit of a quiet time. And then separation from Christ means death. Jesus gives a sober warning here. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch. He withers. A branch thrown aside. No good. We don't want to be thrown aside, folks. Because the Bible says when you're thrown aside, you wither and burn. The branch does not stay connected. It withers. It will not receive the daily nourishment that is needed to sustain life. Its disconnected branch will not receive the moisture that it needs to sustain life. You and I understand very clearly that a body that is not fed, after 30 to 50 days, it will die if it does not take in food. The body that does not take in water in 3 to 5 days is dead. It dies. Oh, the detached branch is dead. The dead branch has no purpose. It's cast aside, thrown away, and it's going to be gathered to be thrown into the fire. You don't want to be that kind of branch, friends. A disconnected life loses eternal purposes. The disconnected branch is useless. It dries up, it's burned. Without Christ, we lose spiritual purpose. We lose vitality. We lose spiritual, eternal significance. Why did God create man in the beginning? For man to worship Him. You know, we believe that that's different than that. Jesus called His disciples to worship and serve in making more disciples who would worship and make more disciples. And they would worship and serve and make more disciples. We live as the world was created for us. Everything is ours. It's us. It's all about us. But when you read Scripture, you understand God created man to serve. Go back to Genesis. In the second chapter, verse 15, the Lord God took man and placed him on the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you cannot eat from the tree of the good of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat, you will surely die." He placed him in it and said, "Work the garden. Command, you are free." Now, free to what? Free to walk in the cool of the evening with God. Free to know the Heavenly Father in a very personal way. But they sinned, just like all of us. And when they sinned, they were separated from God. They were cast out of the garden. The true believer remains rooted in Christ. Religion without relationships is useless. It is lifeless. It is purposeless. Following the rules, checking the box, doing the religious activities without a connection of Jesus is useless. Look at Judas. Oh, he was with Jesus every day, just like the others. He had a special responsibility as the money keeper. He did everything that everybody else did. He heard every word Jesus spoke. He heard and saw everything Jesus did. Yet Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus cared and provided for Judas just like he did the others. But Judas even participated in the Lord's Supper. Judas had his feet washed by the Messiah. And yet, as they were partaking of the bread, he leaned over and said, "What you're going to do, do it quickly." He told Judas, "Do what you've got planned." You know, we need to examine our lives. Are we truly connected to Jesus? Do we have a relationship with him? We have to understand just trying to live for Jesus without actually living, abiding, being connected to Jesus has no meaning. But abiding produces power. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Abiding aligns our prayers to God's will. When we know God, we know what he wants. You know, because we live with our parents, we knew what they expected. We knew how they wanted us to act. We knew what kind of person they wanted us to be. And so we could live in that environment, or we were in great battle. Me, I was one of those that I wanted to do anything mom and daddy wanted. I was the white sheep of the family. I was the chosen one of the family. The others were not. I had a sister that she fought with daddy every day about everything. It didn't matter. Gail was in battle with him from the time she got up to the time she went to bed. And by the 11th grade, she was gone. She went to Knoxville and lived with an aunt and went to school and finished high school in Knoxville. She did come back to Charleston for a while. But there was still that conflict that always went on with daddy. There was not a good relationship. So it is with God. If we abide in Jesus, it's through our study of the Bible, our prayer life, that we know how we need to act, what kind of person he wants us to be in our daily life, in our daily activity, with our daily language, with our daily relationships. It's going to be more like Jesus every day if we're abiding in Jesus. And our culture today, it seems to be getting further and further away. Less and less people are attending churches. I read this week, 20,000 churches are going to close in the United States this year. So many of them are like us. They're aging out. Health and death is beginning to take over. Not going to last much longer. We hear that about 75% of Southern Baptist churches are small like us, dying like us. But we have to understand. Somebody told me this week, preaching, when you have more funerals than you have baptisms, it's not good. That has to think in. Fullness brings the glory of the Father. Fruitfulness brings the glory of the Father. Effective, productive life brings the glory of the Father in our lives. It's a life of service, a life of ministry, a life of honor, glory to God for what he's done in our lives. We praise him. Producing fruit is not only show our connection to Jesus, but it shows his pleasure in us because it's going to be more fruit. Fruit provides, fruitfulness provides, and it proves that we are his disciples. How do you know a branch is connected to the vine? You know it's connected to the vine because it's getting nutrients, it's getting moisture, it's flowing through the vein and through the vine and through the branches, and it's producing fruit. Clusters of grapes are coming. Grapes are full, large, sweet, enjoyable to eat. The disciples' relationship abiding in Christ will fill them with power, love, and the message to be shared with others that will produce more disciples, that will produce more disciples, that will produce more disciples. Who's your disciple that's producing another disciple? Oh, it's challenging when we live today. A discipleship relationship, abiding in Christ, it means that we're going to produce being filled with the Holy Spirit. And our fruit that is being evidenced to the community about us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Folks, if that's not in your life, you're not connected. You're going to be thrown away because you're not producing anything. It's time for us to examine ourselves. See, Christ has to be the center. Notice again the cross. Christ is the center of that cross. There is a relationship there. Christ is the center. Prayer is powerful. Fellowship is sweet. Witness is effective. So we have to evaluate our connection today. How are you at being connected to Christ? Am I truly connected to Jesus the vine? If you don't know Christ, then you're not connected to the vine. Until you surrender to Him, until you give your heart and life, until He becomes the Lord and Savior of life. Today, the invitation is for you to receive eternal life. Then we ask the question, what area of your life needs to be pruned? The Bible says, Jesus said, if there's part of us that are not pruning, are not producing, we're going to be pruned. And even that part that is producing a little bit, it's going to be pruned, adjusted. Shepherds were told, or we're told about shepherds, when they had a particular lamb that would wander off all the time and they'd have to go find it, leave the group, go find him. They were always in trouble. It got to the point that the shepherd would actually break the leg of a lamb, tend to the lamb, and then carry it on its shoulders from then on until the leg healed. And when the leg healed, the lamb would stay close by. You know, we accuse the devil for doing a lot of things in our lives. He's working on me. He's giving me trouble. He's beating me up. He's doing this. We have to understand, sometimes God's got the loppers, and he's trimming off of us, getting rid of the useless, getting rid of the unproductive, getting rid of that part that is not bringing glory to him. You see, what is it that's keeping you from studying the Bible? What is it that keeps you from spending time with God in prayer? What is it that keeps you from fellowshipping with people? God will take them away from you. He'll prune you. He'll trim you up so that you can do those things. Is there something that prevents you from talking to others about Jesus, his love and mercy and grace that he's extended to you? If that prevents you from doing that, then you got a good chance of God cutting it off, taking it away from you so you'll begin to tell others about Jesus and what he means. You see, today you can be like Judas. You can deny Jesus, sell him out, kiss him, and turn him over to the religious leaders. You can be like Peter, standing in the crowd, cussing and saying, I don't know him, I don't know him, I'm not part of him. And then Jesus looks him in the eyes, and Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. He's a loner then for a period of time. In repentance, Jesus comes back and restores him. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Peter, you're going to have a tough life. You're going to be persecuted. You're eventually going to die just like me. But in the meantime, make disciples. You see, that's what he's telling us today. What prevents you from doing things can be cut off. You need to be like Peter when that starts happening and say, God, forgive me. God, use me. Use me. Even upon the bed of affliction, if that's where I've got to be, use me. Use me to tell others. And we should ask ourselves the question, am I bringing glory to God by the way I live? Have you answered that question yet? If the answer is no, I'm not bringing glory to God, or not as I should be, then you need to change. You need to make adjustments. You need to give to the Holy Spirit control of your life and allow Him to teach you and use you to bring glory to Him. You see, you have to commit yourself to daily prayer, to daily Bible study, to daily worship, to daily putting Jesus at the center of your life for him to use you to bear fruit. If you're not going to bear fruit, not much need in you. And I've got a hint that churches that are not bearing fruit today, Jesus has moved on, abandoned them to themselves and the way they are and what they're doing. If how we do things, if it's like I want it to be, is more important than those lost people in the street out there, we better be very careful what God's going to do with his vine that's not producing, the branch that is not producing. It's going to be cut off and done away with. 20,000 churches that are closing this year. We need to make sure that Pinecrest is not one of them. And be connected to the vine so that we can produce fruit from the community that we live in, bringing people to Jesus. Father, we invite you now to hear our prayer. Convict our hearts. Help us understand clearly in our mind what we need to be about, how we need to bear fruit, what we need to be doing every day, so others will come to know Jesus as a result of our lives and our testimonies and our witness. I pray again, send a revival. Let it start today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If God has spoken, you respond as we would stand and sing together.